This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Glynis Board. This morning, we hear from a girl in our region who's bucking some trends and embracing old traditions in the process.
So, I mean, you say brain tanning, they're like, oh my God. And you're like, no, it's just like making buckskin. And they're like, buckskin? But I mean, it's not that weird.
If you missed it, she's talking about brain tanning and buckskins. We'll hear more about it in just a bit. This is West Virginia Morning. An abundance of African-American history is waiting to be discovered in the region, and a new group of grassroots researchers in Huntington hope they'll be the ones to uncover it. The newly forming group is a branch of the Washington, D.C.-based Association for the Study of African-American Life and History, which was established in 1915 by Carter G. Woodson. Known as the Father of Black History, Woodson graduated from Douglas High School in Huntington and later became the school's principal. The association was formed to collect, promote, study, and disseminate African American history and culture while building a strong network among about 50 branches across the United States. The group will cover about 5 counties in southeastern Ohio, West Virginia, and Kentucky. The group hopes to research and rediscover African American history, ranging from things like Bethel Memorial Park Cemetery, a historic Black cemetery in Huntington, to a house on the Big Sandy River believed to be used as part of the Underground Railroad. About 15 people have already joined the local group, and they're looking for more founding charter members. Applications must be made by August 1st. Last week, federal investigators arrested the Speaker of the Ohio House in what authorities are calling a multi-million-dollar bribery scandal. The investigation has rocked Ohio politics. Brittany Patterson reports on how it could also impact future energy policy around the region.
Let's start with the basics, the bill at the center of this scheme, HB 6. Signed last July, HB 6 bails out several struggling nuclear and coal plants, with residents and businesses footing the bill in the form of new monthly surcharges on their electricity bills. It also gutted Ohio's renewable energy and energy efficiency laws. From the start, HB 6 was highly controversial. Ohioans were bombarded by millions of dollars worth of TV ads, like this one, by a group called Ohioans for Energy Security.
China turned off the power on Ohio manufacturing. Don't let them do it to you. Don't sign the petition allowing China to control Ohio's power.
Turns out, that group was part of an elaborate campaign funded by First Energy as part of a pay-for-play scheme. Dave DeVillers, the U.S. Attorney for the Southern District of Ohio, said that in exchange for the $1.5 billion bailout contained in HB 6, the utility funneled $61 million into a dark money group controlled by Ohio House Speaker Larry Householder and his political allies. The money paid for various things.
One, to line the pockets of the defendants, two, to build a power base for Larry Householder, and three, to further the conspiracy, that is, to further the affairs of this enterprise. Make no mistake, these allegations are bribery, pure and simple.
HB 6 is not the only example of utilities asking for help. A bill in Indiana to help coal plants passed earlier this year. But First Energy has been at the center of the bailout debate. The company unsuccessfully lobbied the Trump administration repeatedly to provide subsidies to coal and nuclear plants. The company has a large presence in the Ohio Valley, serving 6 million customers across Ohio, Pennsylvania, West Virginia, Maryland, and New Jersey. In recent years, its coal and nuclear plants have struggled to stay competitive against cheap natural gas and the falling cost of renewable energy. Jamie Van Ostren, head of West Virginia University's Center for Energy and Sustainable Development, says what happened in Ohio should be a warning to other states, including West Virginia. Last summer, the West Virginia legislature gave First Energy's Pleasants Power Station a $12.5 million tax break during a hasty special session.
Maybe legislators will think twice about just voting unanimously for these things, because it's going to raise the issue as, well, why are you helping out First Energy? Is there something nefarious going on? Because obviously there was things nefarious going on in Ohio.
West Virginia Governor Jim Justice, whose family owns multiple coal companies, including one being sued by First Energy during last summer's special session, brushed off calls by his Democratic rival for an investigation into the tax break.
I thought it was a terrific decision.
Dave Anderson with the Energy Policy Institute, a utility watchdog group, says despite the magnitude of this bribery scheme, it's unclear what comes next for HB 6. Bills are in the works to repeal it. Republican Governor Mike DeWine reversed himself and said he too thinks the law should be repealed.
Policymakers in Ohio really knew a lot of this last year when they passed the bill, and they still did it. So I guess the question is, does an investigation of this magnitude hold their feet to the fire a little bit more and create change?
Federal authorities say the investigation is ongoing and additional charges may be filed. First Energy said in a statement it is cooperating with investigators. For the Ohio Valley Resource, I'm Brittany Patterson.
The Ohio Valley Resource is made possible with support from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and West Virginia Public Broadcasting. There's a group of women reviving the art of tanning animal hides here in Appalachia. It's a traditional practice not only here but all around the world. In recent years, though, certain tanning methods have fallen out of favor, including some that really require you to use your brains. Literally, it's called brain tanning. Folkways reporter Claire Hazlett, a brain tanner herself, brings us this story about women tanning hides in Athens, Ohio.
In a cul-de-sac in southeast Ohio, a woman and her 12-year-old apprentice are reviving an age-old tradition with just three ingredients, a deer skin, some water, and a handful of animal brains.
It's slimy. I just gave up on wearing gloves. It'll be okay.
Talkin Quinn and her apprentice, Juniper Ballou, are tanning animal hides the old-fashioned way, using a method called brain tanning. It's a multi-step process of transforming a hairy, fleshy animal skin into buckskin, a buttery soft material stronger than fabric. It's called brain tanning because you actually soak the hide in animal brains. Since I started tanning last year, I've met other traditional tanners in the region, most of whom were men and mostly aged over 50, but I knew that I couldn't be the only lady tanning hides in Appalachia, and I was curious about other women who practice this tradition. I wanted to meet them, to find out what drew them to the practice and why they've stuck with it. That's how I found myself here, in Athens, with Talkin and Juniper.
Hey, Talkin.
Yeah.
I'm gonna take a snack break.
Okay.
Should I roll up my hide? Definitely, thanks.
Through the Ohio Arts Council apprenticeship program, Talkin is training Juniper in the art of brain tanning. Tanning requires a strong back and a stronger stomach, patience, and some serious elbow grease. But Talkin and Juniper aren't intimidated, because for them, tanning isn't just a hobby. For Talkin, brain tanning is about connecting with the natural world. For her apprentice, Juniper, it's about connecting with her heritage. Juniper belongs to the Potawatomi tribe, a tribe centralized in the Great Lakes region. At a young age, Juniper was introduced to the tradition of tanning and buckskin.
My great aunt, when I was younger, she helped us make moccasins for ourselves. And so that like really struck me when I was younger. I was like, wow, you can make stuff out of this.
With Talkin's help, Juniper is making her own medicine pouch.
We have a lot of powwows, which is basically dancers get dressed up in their regalia.
Juniper plans to incorporate her medicine pouch into the regalia that she'll wear at tribal powwows in Michigan.
A couple years ago, I started my regalia, but since we don't go up there a lot, I didn't get that far on it. So I jumped at the chance of making a medicine pouch for myself out of my hide that I've tanned.
And while brain tanning isn't the most mainstream pastime for a 12-year-old, Juniper isn't discouraged.
When you say brain tanning, it's literally talking about a brain. So, I mean, you say brain tanning, they're like, oh my God, And you're like, no, it's just like making buckskin. And they're like, buckskin? And like, it's just hard to explain. Most of the kids at school, they're pretty judgmental, so I don't usually tell them. But I mean, like, there wouldn't be harm doing it because it's not that weird.
Juniper says that brain tanning, no matter how obsolete it might appear, still has value in today's society.
There's so much out there that has, like, shriveled up and died because people don't think it's valued enough, or it's too gross, or it's not something that you need to know.
Brain tanning might not be something that she needs to know, but it's something that she wants to know. For Juniper, this tradition is about connecting with her ancestors and their way of life.
The great thing with how Native Americans hunt, they take one and they're satisfied with it because they use all of it, and what they don't use goes back to the earth.
In Native cultures around the world, brain tanning was an ordinary practice, including here in Appalachia. In 18th century America, buckskin was currency. European settlers and Native Americans often traded food and supplies for buckskins, or bucks for short. According to regional legends, this is where the slang word buck, meaning dollar, comes from. Yet, as the fur trade became commercialized and Native Americans were forcibly removed from their lands, traditional tanning methods fell by the wayside, displaced by industrial chemical tanning. Today, the majority of global leather comes from China. Traditional brain tanning wouldn't be possible to replicate on an industrial scale. To tan one hide takes around 16 hours of intense labor, extended over multiple days. But Juniper says that it's worth the time and effort to source and tan their hides in an ethical way.
We don't kill deer just for the hide. We're not like, oh, get away with the meat. We usually get it from the butcher, where they use all of the meat and we use the hide. So, I mean, it's not hurting the animal. It's making use of it.
Tanning has changed a lot over the years, but to Juniper, traditional tanning still holds important cultural value.
My uncle, when we FaceTimed the other day, he called it learning the language of his grandmother, because she was taken by the settlers and taught English and, like, forced to cut all her hair off and stuff. So, like, he was learning what she had been forced to forget.
You can hear the rest of this story about Juniper's quest to reclaim her heritage by learning to create buckskin leather in the latest Inside Appalachia podcast. That story is part of the Inside Appalachia Folkways Reporting Project. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Our news director is Andrea Billups. I'm your producer and host, Glynis Board. This is West Virginia Morning.